Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is All Things Political.
Confidence and courage are the essentials of success in carrying out our plan.
We're here today to raise the flag of victory over the capital of our greatest adversary.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
So it is apparently necessary for me to state once again, not what kind of church I believe in, for that should be important only to me, but what kind of America I believe in.
And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Ken Rudin will be joining us very shortly, political editor for National Public Radio, where he directs campaign coverage for the network and has for a long time. He is also the author of a very, very good daily blog, Political Junkie column. We're going to spend time talking about health care. We'll look at jobs and a number of issues that Ken is familiar with. He's on top of all things political. He will be with us momentarily. We are in a pledge drive, and this is my first chance to say hi, and I hope you'll pledge. Joining me is John Munson. I'm so delighted. He's one of my favorite people at Wisconsin Public Radio. He came all the way down from Superior, my favorite part of the state, and he is one busy guy traveling all over helping people pledge.
I may blush.
No, you don't need to blush. Okay. It's true. Why? I only speak the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I hear.
So we're happy to have you here, John.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
Giving now at WPR or at 888-202-2552 keeps this program, and I love this program, All Things Political. It keeps it on the air. It only takes a few minutes of your time, so we ask you please to donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, we have some work to do this morning.
Okay.
It's not all fun.
All right, let's work.
Well, you know, last hour we had a goal of 75 pledges, and we heard from 35 listeners. So we have some makeup work to do. This hour, our goal is 25 pledges. So let's see if we can get those 25 and maybe pick up some of the ones we could have used last hour. And why do we talk about these hourly goals all the time? Well, because they're important. That helps us stay on track with the funds that we need to keep discussions like this one going here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So 25 pledges before the end of this hour. That's what we'd like to see happen. And maybe if we pick up a few that we might have gotten last hour, that'll help us out as well. So please take a moment right now and give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Ken Rudin is going to be joining us momentarily. Ken is a fairly regular guest on All Things Political, and he certainly really knows politics. You hear him on Talk of the Nation. You hear him analyzing when big, important events happen politically. David Paterson, governor of New York, he's talked about health care recently. He'll be with us to talk about All Things Political, and interestingly enough, a lot of the issues remain the same. Health care reform, we'll look at jobs, we'll look at what the American people want, what people think of the presidency of Barack Obama. So he's a great guest. And discussions like having an hour with Ken Rudin on the Ideas Network are really possible because of your financial support. Please now give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kathleen, we've made this about as easy as we can for people. It's very, very simple to make a pledge, whether you give online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. We only need your name, some contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you want to pay. You can even use a credit card. And, in fact, when you do, you save time and you save us some money. So don't worry, by the way, we don't share your personal info with any other organizations. Please, please consider giving right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And by the way, we have a special incentive. But wait, there's more. See, I should have been on late night television. So you don't forget, call before midnight tonight.
John.
Well, you know, if this pledge drive doesn't go well, I might be. We have the Ideas Network is celebrating a birthday. It's 20 years this year, 2010. The Ideas Network will be 20 years old.
Hey.
And to celebrate that, we have the Ideas Network 20th anniversary mug. It's an 11-ounce double-wall insulated porcelain mug. Well, I'll tell you what, we pulled out all the stops here. And it's yours for a pledge of $150, and that, don't make me do math, that's just a small amount of money every month. And you'll have the pleasure every time you fill that mug of reminding yourself that you supported all things political on the Kathleen Dunn Show here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah.
WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
And make sure you go to Facebook. We're going to have a picture of John on Facebook who is dressed. This guy is dressed this morning with suspenders. I love suspenders.
Yeah, my pants don't stay up if I don't wear them.
Suspenders. Lovely.
Yeah,
nice
braces.
Tie.
Let's call them braces.
Yeah, you're looking good, sir.
Well, thank you.
And nice to have you here. Thank you. And we do want to remind you again, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. What's the goal, John? How many calls?
25. And, well, we'd like to pick up. Let's, if we can get 30 or even 40, that'd be even better because we need to do a little work to make up some stuff we didn't get last hour.
All right. Thank you. Let's do that, particularly for those of you who love politics. You know that we do, too, and we've been doing marvelous political shows for a long time. One of my favorite – I'm just surrounded by favorites today. One of my favorite guests here for All Things Political is Ken Rudin, political editor for National Public Radio, where he directs campaign coverage for the network. He does a great blog. In case you're not on that blog, it's Political Junkie. And we'll be welcoming on-air phone calls for Ken. Since we talked, the healthcare reform debate took place, and I thought it was just really interesting. I watched many hours of it, and I'm sure many of you did as well. We can talk about that and other issues with Ken. Our on-air phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Kathleen.
A great pleasure to have you on the air with us, sir.
My pleasure, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's talk about that meeting that took place. I watched quite a bit of it, and I know that you did as well. You said in a recent Political Junkie, the White House Summit on Healthcare not going to result in putting aside the differences, nor perhaps is it their goal. Did you see them put aside any of their differences?
Well, I think the goal of the Democrats, and certainly President Obama led the way, their point of view was to say that we, the Democrats, are not as far apart from the Republicans as you might think or as the Republicans might say. And I think the reason they did that is to let the public know that despite all the scary things they're hearing about health care and whatever the costs that are involved, the Democrats and Republicans are pretty close. And I think that was obviously a tactical measure because
right.
If you listen to the rhetoric, they certainly are far apart because it looks like there'll be no Republicans at all voting for it when it ever comes to a vote, a final vote comes. You had one House Republican voting for it last time, Joseph Gao of Louisiana, but now he even says that in the next time it goes around, he won't vote for it. So there are fewer votes for the Democrats to mine for the votes, but they will not be from Republicans.
I was reminded watching this that this guy doesn't get the name the great communicator for nothing. It's quite a feat to spend 7 hours listening intently, summarizing, presenting your position. He really doesn't need teleprompters, does he?
No, and this is not a little obligatory slap at George W. Bush, but I was thinking as I was watching it, I could not imagine President Bush in that same role because what was most impressive about Obama is that whatever the Republicans would say something, Obama would have, whether it was a winning argument back or not, that's not the point, but he thought about everything that was said, and he said, here's why the Republicans' view could work, but doesn't work, ultimately doesn't work. So he was just very meticulous about the details and whether it won over any, certainly it didn't, I don't know if it changed any votes on Capitol Hill. It may have told the American public that there's more to the Democratic side of the argument than they were led to believe.
Why do you think he did this, Ken?
Well, I think part of the reason was the fact is that polls still show that while, yes, we don't like the status quo, yes, that health care is very expensive, there are fears out there that it's going to cost too much, that it's, you know, government control of health policy, that it's socialism. There are a lot of, you know, things out there that the American people are worried about. But also, I think that if you look at the headlines day in and day out, it's always the Democrats who are not getting their act together. Because seriously, all the House had to do, and I'm not saying this, I'm not minimizing this, but all the House had to do was to vote for the Senate bill, and you would have had health care.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate passed it. If the House had passed it, and the House, there's a bigger majority in the House for the Democrats than there is in the Senate, if the House had voted for it, it would have passed. So, except you keep hearing about issues about abortion, and you hear about the complaints about, you know, from Joe Lieberman and Ben Nelson and Blanche Lincoln and Mary Landrieu, these Democratic centrists who have their own way of looking at health care. And, of course, you have, as I said, the Stupak Amendment in the House, which was about anti-abortion, and a lot of there are about 30 or 40 pro-life, anti-abortion Democrats who are not happy with the new language, the compromise language that President Obama is pushing through. So President Obama's figuring, instead of focusing on all the differences among the Democrats, and there are sizable differences, let's have a united front, at least for these 7 hours, and show us against them meaning the Republicans.
Right. Does Nancy Pelosi have her work cut out for her this week?
She absolutely does. And she, of course, has gone out on a limb over the weekend saying that she does have the votes. I suspect that if she had the votes, they would have voted already. And I know that President Obama has tried to take the best of the House version and the best of the Senate version to push through his suggested way of approaching the issue. But a huge proportion of it is the Senate bill. And there are a lot of Democrats in the House who are just not happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Then you have, simultaneous with this health meeting, as you say in your blog, this incredible thing happening with Anthem Blue Cross of California, 39% health insurance rate increase.
Well, this is exactly what I think. I'm convinced that the Obama administration was part of this. No, I'm kidding, of course. But this is it fell into their hands perfectly. If anybody needed an argument why these health care costs are getting out of control, all you have to do is point to Anthem in California, the 39% rate increase, and people saying this is just unacceptable. And that's on top of another huge increase last year and a probable another increase next year. So Obama says, look, yes, 85% of the American public is happy about their health care, and God bless them. But it's still not portable. You still have pre-existing conditions will not get you health care. There's still a cap on health care coverage. And so there's so many conditions that and the price is going up so rapidly that it's just unacceptable. And perhaps, I mean, the timing of that just couldn't be better for the Democratic side.
Reading an interesting article yesterday you probably saw. Suppose Congress, it says, it's in the New York Times, and President Obama failed to overhaul the system now or just tinker around the edges or start over as the Republicans proposed, despite the Democrats' latest and possibly last big push that began at this marathon. Then my health care stays the same, right?
Right.
And the article goes on to say, indeed, it won't, because the cost of health care is just going to go up significantly.
Absolutely true. I mean, of course, nothing stays the same. You may have the same kind of coverage, and a majority of the American people, as they say, is satisfied with the kind of coverage. But that's not to say that the price doesn't keep going up, and it's been going up just exorbitant numbers. And some people can afford it, but a lot of people can't afford it. And with an uncertain economy, it's the people who are most in danger of losing their jobs are the same people who are most endangered of losing their health coverage. And that the combination of losing a job and health coverage is just the fear that is taking over this country.
After following this so carefully, Ken, for a year, over a year, actually, for covering it for, well, you haven't been around that long, but covering it for 50 years, many people have. What do you see as the possibility of what's going to happen here in the next few weeks? Will there be reform, or will it be a lost cause?
I think it... you know, I mean, I don't remember the Truman debate during Truman, and that's, I guess, the first time when health care was seriously proposed by the administration. But, of course, I do remember 93 and 94 with the Clinton initiative on health care that went nowhere and that probably led to the Republican takeover of Congress with Newt Gingrich in 94. But I think this one has to work. It is inexcusable for if the American public is looking at this and they see 59 Democrats in the Senate and a huge numbers, a majority in the House as well. If the Democrats can't pass it with these numbers, well, first of all, everybody knows in November, or at least the likelihood is that the Republicans are going to make significant gains, both in the Senate, both in the House. And if the Democrats don't have the numbers to pass it now in 2010, they're certainly not going to pass it in 2011. And of course, then when 2012 comes, everybody will say, well, we can't do anything because the presidential race is going on and we're distracted by the campaign.
Right.
This is the time they have to do it. And I can't imagine. I think the president should have come up with a plan earlier. I think he was so fearful of what the Clintons did in 93, 94, that he let Congress take care, run the ball, run the play by themselves. But he finally realizes that the time, look, when you lost that 60th vote with that Scott Brown election in Massachusetts, there was a big sea change in the philosophy, in the feeling of many Democrats in Washington, suddenly realizing, we're in big trouble. We've got to pass this. I suspect they do. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be heart-wrenching. I know a lot of people are going to perhaps put their careers on the line. But, of course, the history of, courageous decisions in Congress is putting your career on the line for sometimes unpopular causes.
What would have happened if this summit had taken place a year ago?
Well, that means, that's exactly it. I mean, every time the president says, well, look, I'm just going to make a speech to Congress and I'll, aside from, some outburst of a you lie, for the most part, I'll be the great communicator. But minds were not changed. And I think this actually helped both sides in some ways, because I think more people understand what is at stake. I think the Republican viewpoint was also, articulately said as well. I'm not convinced that it helps I don't think that the debate we heard at the Blair House changed the feeling in Congress at all. But I think it was Obama's last chance. Okay, I'm going to listen to the Republican Party. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. Here's what we have to say. If you're not on board, we'll pass this without you.
We're going to take phone calls for Ken Rudin. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We're also, this is my first day to ask for your support, your pledges of support for programs like All Things Political, which I absolutely love this hour. It just flies by every week. And I know many of you love it as well. So remember during this hour to pledge WPR.org, or the number is 888-202-2552. The other thing we have going on, and I think this was a brilliant decision, whoever made this decision, is if you pledge $120, which is about the average, ask for the Food for 40 program. Imagine feeding thousands and thousands of people as a result of our pledge drive. That's good. That's good. Doesn't get better than that. And that would be a nice goal for us as well. So keep that in mind as you pledge today. Two calls for Ken in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now for Ken, and let's start with Tim from Milwaukee. Hi, Tim.
Hi, this is Jim speaking.
Oh, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. First off, I'll just say to listeners that I give every year, and I certainly would encourage listeners to ask themselves the question, who else do I know that I could encourage to give to Wisconsin Public Radio?
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, you're welcome. In Chicago Sun-Times on Sunday, they had an article on the editorial page, GOP cries foul over tactic that they mastered. And they quote Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee saying at the summit that reconciliation has never been used for something like this and that this is nonsense, pointed out that in terms of big policy changes, 17 of the 22 reconciliation bills sent to the president since 1980 were approved by a Republican-controlled Senate. One example was, of course, in 2001 and 2003, they used the reconciliation to force through $1.35 trillion in tax cuts for the rich over 10 years, and the second bill accelerated the tax cuts and increased the national deficit in the process. And it's interesting that that amount of money that they gave to the rich at that point in time would have paid for the program that we're trying to fund and pass currently. So it's within the capacity of the Congress to use reconciliation. It's been done in the past, and there's no reason why we can't do it in the present.
Ken.
Well, you know, exactly. But remember that when the Republicans pushed through reconciliation in 2001 and 2003 for the Bush tax cuts, it was the Democrats who cried foul. So, you know, whenever you're in the minority, you don't want to use reconciliation. So the Democrats didn't like it in 2001, 2003. The Republicans don't like it now. Jim is absolutely correct. Both sides have used it. The Republicans have used reconciliation more than the Democrats have. So for the Republicans to be so aghast at the possibility of using that as a tactic, just for the listeners, to remind the listeners, reconciliation means to allow the Senate to pass it with 51 votes instead of the magic supermajority of 60 votes. That's what reconciliation is. So the Republicans have done that in the past. Now, some people could say, well, if the Democrats push that through now, it'll poison the well. Well, look, if the well isn't poisoned enough already, I don't think anything will change it. But I think, remember, there were a bunch of Republicans who voted for the jobs bill that passed this week. It was a minor thing. It was $15 billion, but of like 13 Republicans voted for it. If they push reconciliation on the health care, then I suspect that nothing else will get passed, that they'll change the well. Talk about poisoning the well. They'll change it forever. It's ugly now. Somehow, look, there's no way they're going to start all over again. A lot of people say, well, we should start from the beginning. That means starting in 1946, and they're not going to do that. But right now, reconciliation is a very risky tactic, and yes, it's been used in the past, but back in 2001, 2003, the relationship between the two parties is not as poisoned as it is now. I just don't know if you're opening up another can of worms by pushing it through now.
Thanks, Jim. Tom is next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Ken. Hey, I love your trivia question on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
I'm calling regarding kind of a follow-up to the CPAC convention and what I would call discombobulation in the Republican or conservative ranks. I'm not quite sure what to make of this. The straw poll goes for Ron Paul. It seems dominated by Glenn Beck and such. And I'm wondering what do people like John McCain, Mitch McConnell, Michael Steele, how do they adapt to what is clearly a dramatically changing or evolving situation?
Well, you know, that's very interesting. When you talk about the Republican comeback after the Obama victory in 2008, a lot of Republicans will point to Chris Christie winning in New Jersey and Bob McDonnell winning in Virginia and Scott Brown winning in Massachusetts. But these guys are not strong conservatives. They're not Tea Party conservatives. They're pretty much moderates, you know. But now, if you look at what's going on in 2010 with the Marco Rubio challenge in Florida, with the challenge from J.D. Hayworth against John McCain in Arizona, it's really conservatives being challenged by more conservatives or ultra conservatives, if you want. And, you know, those kind of candidates are not going to win in New Jersey and Massachusetts. Not that one size fits all. But if you look at what happened at CPAC, Ron Paul supported Ron. Look, Ron Paul will never be the Republican nominee for president. And not because I'm saying so. It's because as we saw, his supporters are very active. They're very fervent. They're very good when it comes to straw polls and internet polls. But ultimately, I don't know if they're true Republicans. And by saying that, I don't know if they're going to come out in Republican primaries and Republican caucuses. They did not in 2008. But there seems to be some kind of a change saying, well, since we don't like Obama, since Obama is destroying this country, according to the conservatives, we might as well have the Marco Rubios and the Jim DeMintz and the J.D. Hayworth running. And that's a risk because right now the moderates, the centrists in the middle of the thing are leaning towards the Republicans. If the Republicans only put up very strong right-wing candidates, that momentum could go back to the Democrats in a hurry.
In a moment, I want to ask a follow-up to that. Frank Rich had an interesting column yesterday talking about what he saw as the most significant event of February 2010. And he said it wasn't the healthcare summit. He said he'd put his money on the murder-suicide of Andrew Joseph Stack III, the tax protester who flew a plane into the office building housing the IRS in Austin, Texas. He goes on to say that there were a number of Republicans, particularly Tea Party sympathizers, who rationalized his crime and what that means for the future of politics. We'll ask Ken what he thinks about that in a moment. We are in a pledge drive. Ken Rudin is joining us, and we're doing all things political, which you always hear on Monday. And I hope you'll pledge during this hour, because we love doing this hour, and I love this political audience. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Joining me in our studios, Mr. John Munson, who's on the road. He's from Superior, the most beautiful part of the state, and we're so happy to have him with us pledging. It's a treat for me. It makes this pledge drive fun. As a regular listener to this program, you know that you're going to hear something worthwhile. Where else can you have these kinds of political discussions? They're terrific. And we're asking you to put a value on the program. It's part of what keeps us going. Here, please, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello again, John.
Well, hello, Kathleen. Well, you know, we want people to give online because, I tell you what, that saves us both money and paper. So pledge, please, at WPR.org. Well, neither one of those is insignificant. Mm-hmm. You can, however, still call us at 888-202-2552. The main thing is that you help pay for the programs you depend on, programs like All Things Political. Help us meet our goal. We need 16 more pledges in the next half hour or so. Thank you so much if you've already given at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We have a little extra incentive this hour. And in fact, this is an item that's not going to be offered very often. So if you want to get one, not available in stores, you need to pledge right now at the one for $150. A pledge of $150, you can get the Ideas Network 20th anniversary mug. And just, boy, 20 years. And I remember when I was there at the birth of the Ideas Network, but some days I feel like I could be its grandfather. the time has flown by. But we have an 11-ounce double-wall insulated porcelain mug with an Ideas Network logo on it. It looks like a paper cup, but it's not. And it has a silicone lid that helps keep your beverage hot or cold and prevents spills, and that's something I'm very concerned about. You wear white shirts, you have to be careful about spills.
Yes, you do.
So
I know what you're saying.
That's available for a pledge of $150, so please consider that. But I'll tell you what, gifts of any amount are always welcome at WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
You could do infomercials in your next life if you want. You sold that cup. Well, you really sold that cup.
I tried to sell that cup.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
You did it well. You might have found yourself listening to the radio, sitting in the car, sitting at the grocery store, drawn into a great discussion. I know that's happened to me. You need to get somewhere, but you can't go because the discussion is just so wonderful and you want to call in. Because it happened to you, it is time to pledge your support, please, for All Things Political. We do have a goal, and we would like to get there for this hour, particularly with Ken Rudin. He's a fabulous guest. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Have you been listening without pledging? Maybe you didn't know that Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. We are. More than a third of our budget comes from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. Well, how about a donation right now? After you've given, you'll feel great each time you tune in. Pledge securely online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We mentioned that cup. And can I also mention this? Because I think this was a fabulous idea. I don't know who thought of this idea, but the fact that you can pledge to feed 40 people is really a good thing. And I like that. So can I talk about that just for 1 second?
Sure show.
$120 is my show. Right. $120, and you can feed 4 people if you pledge. 40 people. 4 people. 40 people. Wow. That's worthwhile. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Mr. Munson.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Talk to you later. Ken Rudin is our guest. What do you make of that comment concerning what happened in Austin, Texas, and the Republicans not in a uniform fashion, saying that this was absolutely awful? Ken.
Kathleen, can I just interrupt? Just
yes.
Just for 1 quick second.
Yes.
Because when you asked me to be on the show today, you said, don't worry, you're not going to have to make any pledge requests. But let me just say one thing, and this sounds like such a company line, but it is so true, that NPR, National Public Radio, could not survive without the support of member stations like Wisconsin Public Radio. And so every dollar that is given to our member stations like WPR helps NPR, the folks at NPR, do its job. So I want to thank everybody who is pledging, because we couldn't survive without you and the member stations.
And the best news around, Ken, I don't say that because I work for the organization, but it is true. You just do the best news. The best news. There you are.
Well, you know, and every time I travel and I go out to member stations a lot, and they say, and everybody says to me, I cannot survive without NPR. I cannot be in my car. I just don't know where else to turn. There's nowhere else to turn, because all you're hearing is yelling from the left, yelling from the right, and there's no news. And and I do think we do it better than anybody else. And of course, are we perfect? No, but we try.
Yes.
And I think we do a very good job.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Okay, now to something this is a really serious thing.
Let me wipe the tears off my face now.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
thanks,
Ken. You know something, there are a lot of people who said that the plane going into Austin on the IRS was not terrorism. That's exactly what terrorism is. A political act that will take somebody's life or threaten somebody's life, that's a terrorist act. And so you don't have to be born in a certain part of the world to commit terrorism, as we saw in Oklahoma City. And what happened in Austin is the same thing. It is sad and somewhat unconscionable that there are some people who said that this is justified, or we understand why this happened, and this is not a conservative statement. It's not a patriotic statement. And for people to pretend that they're patriots and to condone this kind of violence is just beyond the pale.
Yeah, let's go to more phone calls. Anne from Kenosha is next. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to get back to healthcare for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty upset that both parties seem to be missing the point, and the Republicans have done an excellent job of having us talk about what's in the bill, what's not in the bill, how we can't afford it, and they're not talking about what insurance companies are doing to us and the abuses they're guilty of. The Democrats are not getting the message out that our premiums are going up anyway. Every time the Republicans say how much our premiums are going to go up if this passes, what they don't say is how much more they're going to go up if it doesn't. And I'm so disappointed in the lack of critical thinking of both the people, the voters, the Tea Party people, journalists, that we're not talking about how fragile everybody's health care is. I have health insurance. I could look like I'm happy with my health insurance, but I've already run into issues with pre-existing conditions, and you're only one desk jockey's decision away from losing your coverage. People that they say 85% of people are happy with their coverage, well, that's because they're ignorant of how quickly that coverage could change or how quickly it could be taken away.
Ken.
I agree 1,000%. I know that. I mean, this Anne is exactly right, and I think that's what we heard a lot at the 7-hour summit last week. The fact is that sure, it costs a lot, but as we talked about earlier, the fact that a health insurance company in California could raise it by 39% because they decided to raise it 39%. Now they could say, well, healthcare costs are going up, and that's the Obama argument. Yes, healthcare costs are going up, and that's why we have to pass this bill, because to curb these costs. I think most independent analysts say that ultimately this will contain the kind of costs that are rapidly going out, up, like the way they have been. And Anne makes the point that we did hear at the summit as well, that yes, 85% are satisfied, but there are just some horrific stories about people who have to borrow somebody else's false teeth, and everybody else who just loses their coverage at the drop of a hat. It's one thing to be satisfied if nothing is changing, but in this climate with an uncertain economic future, and we know it's uncertain because it's approaching 10% unemployment, we've lost 8.5 million jobs since the current recession has started, and that means a lot of people are losing their health coverage. So to say that we're satisfied and say that everything is fine misses the whole point. But the Republicans do make the point that, look, the uncertainty is what scares a lot of people. And yes, uncertainty about losing your job is out there, and uncertainty about losing everything else is out there too. But if they could make the point that that it'll cost you much more, and if you think you're paying a lot now, wait till the government takes care of you. That's a popular position. You need more better journalism, yes. You also need a stronger Democratic Party, and a lot of progressives say that that's one of the problems. The Democrats have been just too weak on this issue.
You know, tell me what's happened, though, in the time since. Was it not that long ago, a couple of years ago, we used to do forums on the radio here with people who were from small businesses, who were from large corporations. There seemed to be this consensus that everybody knew what was wrong. Their costs were going up significantly. They couldn't stand it. Their businesses were hurting as a result of this. It was people from all walks of life who were saying, we got to fix this broken system. And it didn't seem to be partisan at all, Ken. Something has happened in the years since then, and I'm wondering what the heck it is.
Well, you know, we could blame everything. We could always point to a certain time, a thing that changed in politics. My gut tells me that perhaps it was either the Robert Bork nomination or the John Tower nomination back in the late 80s when the Democrats were on one side of it and the Republicans were on the other. John Tower was George Bush's choice for defense secretary. He was defeated, and the Republicans cried foul. Then they went after Jim Wright, the Democratic Speaker of the House, and the Democrats cried foul. And then they went after Newt Gingrich, and the Republicans cried foul. And everybody is tit for tat. We saw it with Sotomayor. I mean, she got more votes against her than almost any, you know, Democratic nominee for Supreme Court in decades. Just as Clarence Thomas got the most of any Republican nominee. It's us against them. It's in the old days, you had for example, you had Ronald Reagan and a Democratic Congress that talked together. You almost had Bill Clinton and a Republican Congress that talked together. Now nobody talks together. The Republicans vote 95% together. The Democrats vote 95% together. They don't go to parties anymore. They don't meet after work anymore. They just go their own separate ways, and nobody talks to each other. And everything is about November, not about the betterment of the country. It's about winning in November. The Democrats play the same game. The Republicans play the same game. And it's the people that get hurt. And that's why you have groups like the Tea Party, whatever you think of their politics, and I don't even understand the politics completely, but let's just say it's conservative, but it's a backlash. It's anger and it's a frustration. And right now you'll see it on the right. Eventually you'll see it on the left. But the point is the two parties are not working for anything other than their own betterment in November. Mm.
So you could be a hero, Ken, and throw a big party, right?
Maybe
people. People from both sides of the aisle.
A BYOB party. Bring your own buttons.
Let's go to Chris from Mukwonago. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Kathleen, and hi, Ken.
Hi,
I'm a nurse, which is actually beside the point. I have an idea for putting a face on this. Ken, when he first started talking, talked about nobody can change anybody else's mind here. But I think if we put a face on health care, I think if some important person, for example, a senator or a representative, nobly decided to put himself or herself in the very same position of one of those 30,000 or 3 million people that don't have health care, and just for 6 months went without health care and was unable to get treated for a cold or an emergency room visit or have one of their family members unable to access health care as well. And if the press got right on that and covered every moment of it and every inch of it and every dollar and cent of it, maybe we would change our minds, those of us who oppose it in whatever form it's taking, for whatever ways, we would get serious and say this is truly a problem. If somebody goes bare without health insurance, this is what happens to them. This is how the dominoes fall. You know, November would come, I would vote for somebody, a senator or a representative or anybody else, a cabinet member, whatever it would happen to be, I would vote for such a person because that is a noble undertaking. I would like to see that kind of leadership. Ken, is that like too wild and crazy, or would that idea work in any form?
Well, I like it. And actually, I was envisioning somebody having that profile in Courage. I was thinking during that Blair House summit last week, John Barrasso, the senator from Wyoming, was talking about how, you know, we have the greatest system in the world. And President Obama responded, yes, we do have the greatest system in the world. And the reason Congress likes it so much is because they have this special coverage. Imagine if you made $40,000 a year, you couldn't afford the kind of coverage you did. So perhaps President Obama was suggesting that maybe somebody just, you know, take up those reins and just show how it's a system for the wealthy and not for the people who are making $40,000 a year. Do I see anybody doing that? I think it's not a bad idea, actually. And I could see somebody, maybe somebody who's safe in their reelection, because everything is about reelection and after all, unfortunately. But if somebody who didn't care, either was retiring, didn't care about reelection, or knew he or she was going to get reelected, they should just say, look, I'm going to try this. I'm going to show what the most of the American people have to deal with. That would be a fascinating way of going.
Yes, it would. Let's talk a little bit more about the Democrats here and what happened, because they have the Senate and the House and the presidency, and they lost the message here somehow. And I don't quite understand why that happened. It's because the corporations, the health insurance industry, are giving them a lot of money, or they don't really care at their core about this issue, or what in the world happened?
Well, we do know that the health insurance industry is spending a ton of money with ads about, you know, the dangers of health care. But again, you're making a very good point. Last summer, I guess it was last May, after Al Franken was seated and after Arlen Specter switched parties, the Democrats had 60 votes. So therefore, you know, let's pass it in August, because that's exactly what the Obama timetable was saying. But then Joe Lieberman said, well, I don't like this. And then Ben Nelson of Nebraska said, I don't like the abortion language. And then Mary Landrieu said, I want something for Louisiana. And Blanche Lincoln says, I want something for Arkansas. And so Obama and the Democrats were so busy working out these little deals, you know, the Louisiana purchase, they called it, with Mary Landrieu, all these deals to satisfy individual members, because if you lose one from the 60, you're dead. So you have to satisfy all of them. Whereas on the Democratic side, you had the Bart Stupaks with abortion. You had the more progressives insisting on public option. So what the American public saw was Democrats in charge and yet completely unincharged, because they couldn't get their numbers to line up. And then when Scott Brown won the January 19th election in Massachusetts, they no longer had 60. And people saying, how could you fritter away an opportunity like this? It's been since 1970 since any party had 60 votes in the Senate. And they couldn't do it with all those numbers they had.
Yeah. Quite amazing. Let's go next to Ann from Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, about political pundits earlier, people like Rush Limbaugh, I think, could be safely ignored. For instance, over the weekend, he said that he was talking about a woman who had to take her dead sister's false teeth because she couldn't afford new ones. And Limbaugh's comment was, well, why does she need teeth? Isn't that what applesauce is for? So, you know, I think he was an entertainer there I think things like that can just be ignored. But I really called to say that President Obama's position is really a right-wing corporatist Republican's dream. It doesn't have any single-payer system, doesn't even have an inadequate public option. Drug companies are going to be allowed to continue to charge outrageous, unaffordable prices. The states won't even be allowed to set up their own people-friendly systems. It forces people to buy insurance from the insurance companies that have gouged people and let them die. So, you know, there are no controls on anything in this system. The only thing it does that's a little bit better is that they can't say if you have a so-called pre-existing condition like acne or something, that you will not be allowed to buy insurance. But I just think this is, you know, this system is a fraud. And I think that President Obama and the Democrats are as much acting as corporate lobbyists as the Republicans are.
Ken.
I have trouble saying that they're corporate lobbyists, but I will agree completely that they are certainly more timid than many progressives would like. For all the talk about that Obama is a socialist and he's a communist and he's, you know, you hear those things from the Limbaughs of the world, the point is that he is very cautious. He's cautious to a fault. And there are some people say, look, the heck with it. You know, the heck with the Republicans. If we can't even get Olympia Snow on something like this, then there's no hope for any getting any Republicans. Let's just ram it through if we have to. The people have waited 50 years and longer, 60 years, for health care. And if the Republicans won't go along with it, let's just push it through. But the only reason that the Democrats have control of Congress is because a lot of moderate conservatives in red states that we saw in 2006 and 2008, they were dissatisfied with Bush. They were dissatisfied with the Iraq War, and they voted Democratic. These Democrats were scared to death of pushing through a progressive agenda. So ultimately, it doesn't even matter to some people that the Democrats control Congress.
Mm-hmm. Let's take one more phone call, and it is Mike from South Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Kathleen and Kent. I call in periodically and say the same thing, and maybe my message will get across. First, I'd like to say I agree completely with Anne from Madison. President Obama and his sidekick, Rahm Emanuel, made a secret deal last summer with the drug companies so that we couldn't negotiate for lower prices and we couldn't re-import drugs from Canada. He is a corporate lobbyist. Now to my comment. This is not reform that they're talking about. The bottom line in this country is we spend $7,700 per capita for health care, and we do not cover 50 million Americans. The other Western industrialized countries spend $4,000 per capita and cover everybody. Please stick to those numbers. $7,700, don't cover everybody. $4,000, cover everybody. That's reform, and this bill that's being proposed is not reform.
Thank you, Mike, for your call. Ken?
Well, look, I think a lot of your callers have made the same point, that this is so far less than what people are needed, but I'm not excusing anything. This is just a political – this is politics, and everybody is scared to death of their own viability, their political viability, and they'll go only as far as they think the voters will take them. I don't think they realize that if you listen to some of these calls, like we just heard from Ann, that look – maybe the American public is not as stupid as they think, and they would be very, very willing to be more aggressive in something that is you know, costing so many lives.
Yeah. Thank you, Ken, so much for being with us, and thanks for all your contributions to journalism. We love having you on the show.
It is always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Rudin, political editor for NPR. If you haven't seen his column, it's always worth reading, Political Junkie. It's on the web. All things political, just a few of our guests we've had in the past few months. Lynn Sweet from the Chicago Sun-Times. Julian Zelizer, great guest from Princeton. Clarence Page from the Tribune Media Services. Jim Lehrer from PBS. Melissa Harris-Lacewell from Princeton. Gwen Ifill from PBS. All things political guests we have had, and we continue to bring you superb guests and great political conversations. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You probably rely on us for enlightening, informative discussions on all things political and other subjects. We are here to remind you that we rely on you to keep programs like this one on the air. It's our winter membership drive. A gift of any amount will make a big difference. Please make a gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. John Munson, joining us in our studios here in Milwaukee. Hello again, John.
Good morning, Kathleen. Well, we're inching toward the top of the hour. And our goal, we need six more pledges by 10 o'clock to make our goal of 25 for this hour. You know, the success of this fund drive depends on you. We say that over and over again, but it's true, so we keep repeating it. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if not, please give now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And as an extra special incentive for this hour, we have available the Ideas Network 20th Anniversary Mug. It's yours for a pledge of $150. It will look great on your desk or in your car. You can carry it around with you, and people will know that you identify with the Ideas Network. That's yours for a pledge of $150 or more. I mean, don't stop there, you know. What the heck?
What the heck?
Either way, go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
I know that you enjoyed the conversation with Ken Rudin because you always enjoy Ken Rudin. Now we ask you to take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programming you enjoy every day. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And let's, you know, reach our goal this hour. That would be great. We're getting there, but we're just not quite there yet.
Well, we're within reach.
Okay.
Six pledges is what we need between now and the top of the hour. Six.
All right.
You know, and giving, just it takes 3 minutes. And I'll tell you what, it might just be the best 3 minutes you'll spend all day long. Just tell us your name, some contact information, how much you want to give, and how you want to pay. You can use a credit card because that's easy. It takes just a few minutes. It saves time, it saves money, and saves paper. Well, that's three things we saved already. Take those 3 minutes right now. Give securely online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
I like this comment. Julia, who lives in Blue River, says, WPR is even more important to my well-being than chocolate.
Wow.
And I really like chocolate.
That's pretty strong stuff.
It is really strong stuff, isn't it? We do have a goal of 25, and we're getting there, but we'd sure like to make the goal. You decide the amount of your pledge, as John so greatly described that cup, that coffee mug. You can get that for $150. We also have at the $120 level, which I'm very fond of, this food for 40. So if you want to pledge that, which is an average pledge, ask for that as your premium, and you'll really feel good. 40 meals will be provided to those in need through area food banks. So here is how you do all of this. You go to WPR.org or you call 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552.
We need to hear from six more people in probably the next, five, 6 minutes here before the top of the hour, Kathleen. And
okay.
Thank you so much again if you've already given. And if not, please help us stay on track for this pledge drive by making that contribution right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. And, of course, for a $150 gift, you'll get our thank you, an Ideas Network 20th anniversary mug. And, in fact, this is the only time today that you can get one of these. And it'll just be there are just a few times this week when we're making that available. So, you know, there's some urgency here. 888-202-2552, or better yet, pledge securely online at WPR.org. I see we need five more
five
pledges.
Five calls.
Now. We're
we
getting
need five
there.
Calls. All right. Well, we've got a few minutes to call here. Please do it now. Support all things political. I love this hour, and I know that many of you do as well. We've just had some terrific conversations, and we ask you to pledge for it. 888-202-2552. Thank you, John Munson. Pleasure to have you here. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and thank you, John Treader. And thanks for your pledges.